antibiotic.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene, with Chris, we started, of course, honoring the life and times of Lucius Farish, and in that tradition, covering the state of the art in terms of UFO research with Nancy Talbot, Rick Hilberg, Jerry Clark, Kurt Sutherly. And something here, of course, to throw out also is the fact that so long as there's no public clamoring for this, it's not going to change. They look at reports about UFOs on those special channels, Nova, National Geographic, History Channel as entertainment. And without criticizing the specific participants, look at the UFO Hunters TV show. Everything there was oriented towards providing an entertaining experience. They didn't get the ratings. They canceled it.
Right. It's basically tabloid TV, tabloid journalism on TV. That's what it's come to. Either you have National Geographic or, Nova, who is totally skeptical of the whole business, or you have, you know, some of the other tabloid TV programs that you just, you know, mentioned about UFOs, or for that matter, there's several about the Bigfoot phenomena that's on now that is just totally wacky.
Well, thank God for people like Lou Farish, who provided an opportunity for a lot of people to hear some facts. I'm looking at his photograph right now, sitting on the porch with Jerry at this nursing home where he died.
We're talking about Jerry Blackburn, a long time
ago. Jerry Blackburn, yes.
Sure.
And thinking, I know how much effort Lou put into keeping this alive for those of us who do think it's worth pursuing. Thank you, dear Lou.
And Nancy, one thing that I think needs to be mentioned is I seem to recall reading a notice of Lou's passing, and the author mentioned that he had left his estate and land for UFO research, which I find is the ultimate testament of a man's real fascination and his courage to be involved in a subject to the extent of he even bequeaths his estate to the actual furthering of UFO research, and that is a real testament to a man's dedication.
It is.
Yes.
He also, and he had a mammoth library, And I think a lot of it has gone to Dave Marler, who is categorizing and cataloging. This will be made available to the public, you know, for research, which is great because Lou has stuff that very few other people nowadays would have.
You know, just hitting with one idea here, it came to me. Obviously, he's going to have an estate where he can give grants, but at least his friends can give grants to UFO research, but maybe set up a museum. You know, it might be an out-of-the-way place. I mean, where he lived, Plumerville, Arkansas, had a population of 854 as of 2000. But, you know what I'm thinking of here.
But they had a post office.
That's right. Not anymore. This year, you'll be lucky if any city has a post office.
And Lou was a part-time employee at the post office.
Well, he was for years. But I'm sure that a lot of that material will be made available to the general public for research and to those of us who want to access it one way or the other. I'm thinking here, I have a list that I made of, over the years, the people that Lou brought to the conference. Tim Good from England was there an awful lot of the time. People like Wendell Stevens and Forrest Crawford and Ted Phillips, Carla Turner, Grant Cameron, Vince White, Joe Lules, Dolores Cannon, Paul Von Ward, Bob Pratt, Jim Mars, Antonio Huenas, Joanne Scarpellini, one of my field workers, went to every single one of the conferences, and she also went to the memorial service and said that the people at the service were made aware, because many of us had written in our thoughts and our feelings about Lou, and the local people, because he was such a modest person, they were almost entirely unaware of what a difference Lou's work had made.
He had this entire other life that they were.
Yeah,
privy to.
And now they're aware of it, and they take some pride in their friend, whom most of them still called Red, because he had real red hair when he was younger. And I'm glad that people will remember Lou and others like him, his intelligence, his thoughtfulness, his interest in it was not for his own personal gain. He kept the price at that conference very low in order for the largest number of people possible to be able to afford to come.
Compare that with some conferences, I'm not going to name any, that they think it's Disneyland, where they charge you an arm, a leg, and a foot. Chris, you have some more questions.
I have another question from Century. This one is for Rick. How many paper UFO zines are around these days, and what do they offer that you think you can't find online?
Well, there are very few around. That's a very good question. As a matter of fact, I was just emailing a friend of mine today who does publish a zine, sort of an offbeat zine, not necessarily on UFOs. And I said that you can literally count the number of print zines on one hand, and that's about what it's come to. I think that the real benefit in the print zines are that basically the old timers are, you know, still editing them. All the newcomers, it seems, have gone over to the internet, and that's where they've set up their domain, and that's where they do their research and, you know, share their information. But there are still some older folks out there who do not have internet access and who do rely on these few UFO zines. And I think the benefit is, as I said, that the editors are basically old timers, old heads, and that they have a certain sense of what is significant, you know, regarding reports or whatever. I mean, there are so many people that write in anonymously in the internet, and they, you know, come up with, you know, whatever stories or sightings or encounters that they think they've had. And a lot of times what they are saying doesn't always jibe with what has happened in the past. And someone who, you know, deals on this consistently can kind of get a sense of what's real or what's significant.
A perspective, Rick.
Yeah, perspective, yeah.
One thing that paper and print publications have is an editorial hand, which is sorely missing on the internet. The publications that have a good editor at the helm are much more valuable than so much of the burbling you get on the internet.
I wanted to ask Jerry exactly where one does go for someone like me who is not an expert in the UFO field. What should I read or make it my business to see to be informed intelligently so that I don't have to wade through so much crap?
Well, you mean in terms of periodicals?
Either that or on the any whatever is out there that is worth paying attention to. I'd love to be told what to do.
I'm working on the foreword to a book that will be coming out sometime in the next few months. It's called UFOs and Government. And it is really, it's almost like a textbook on the subject where real authorities and thinkers have put down a real history of how UFOs and governments have interacted. It's not conspiracy theory. It's not speculative. It's stuff that can be drawn from a meticulous study of available documents supplemented by interviews and other materials. There are still good books coming out. As always, they're a minority. Most of the books are garbage. But there's still real scholarship going on in this field. And most of it isn't really appearing online that I can see. I mean, you can use the internet for information, obviously, we all do. But the real lasting stuff is still stuff just published the old-fashioned way. And a publication that is everybody ought to read, well, one of them is International UFO Reporter, which Kufos publishes, which is an excellent, serious UFO journal.
In our next segment, tell people what this organization is and its history, because it's very fascinating. We have Jerry Clark, Nancy Talbot, Kurt Sutherly, Rick Hilberg with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, separating signal from noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I've been telling you about eFoods Direct for a while now. Here are my top 10 reasons to stock up on food from eFoods Direct. Number 10, the food I get from eFoods Direct tastes great. Number 9, the eFoods meals are easy to prepare. 8, eFoods Direct delivers the food right to my front door. 7, most of these meals cost less than $2. 6, with their large variety, I can eat it every day. 5, I always have access to high quality and delicious food. Number 4, eFoods products don't spoil, so I never waste any food. 3, eFoods uses only safe, healthy ingredients. Number 2, I have my own food supply and don't depend on the grocery store. And the number 1 reason I promote eFoods Direct is they build special offers just for my listeners. Folks, don't wait. Get prepared now. We all need to be self-sufficient. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Jones special. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris and Jerry Clark, Rick Hilberg, Kurt Sutherly, Nancy Talbot competing to be the one who gets top billing, but we're not going to let that happen. They all deserve top billing. So you mentioned Kufos. For those in our listening audience who have no idea what you're talking about, Jerry Clark, explain what it's all about.
Kufos is the Center for UFO Studies, which was established about 1976 by the late J. Allen Hynek, who was the Project Blue Book astronomer who later became UFO proponent, and whose most lasting contribution to popular culture is inventing the phrase Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And for being in the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind, towards the end of the film, you see him for about 4 seconds.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, he died in 1986. But he organized this group hoping to bring the best scientific and other minds into the field. And the CUFOS has published for years a periodic referee journal called Journal of UFO Studies. It publishes a magazine of which I am an editor called International UFO Reporter. It's currently directed by Mark Rodiger and headquartered in Chicago. Like all UFO organizations, you know, it's gone through hard times. The money is hard to come by and publication is only occasional. But when the issues of the IUR, or International UFO Report, come out, they're well worth reading cover to cover, which isn't something you can say of a lot of UFO publications. And so CUFOS, you know, struggles on and does the good fight on a shoestring, like all ufologists and anomalists fighting the good fight.
Thank you, Jerry.
Can I say one more thing about Lou that I think
sure.
is really important? And this is how he affected me personally the most. Lou was the first guy that I know was actually doing historical UFO research. In the mid-1960s, he started looking through old Arkansas newspapers for accounts of the 1897 airship. He inspired me to do that, and now in the last 10 or more years of my life, that's practically all I'm doing is research into historical Fortiana from the 19th century, the early 20th century. In 2005, I published a book dealing with the historical research that I had done up till then. The title of the book is Unnatural Phenomena, and this is the dedication to Lucius Farish, old friend and fellow traveler on the unnatural landscape. And that is how, aside from the pleasure of knowing a good man, Lou affected my life the most by turning me on to the fascination of pre-1947 burial and other anomalous phenomena.
Lou was, as Jerry just said, he was interested in aerial and other anomalous phenomena. And I think that's something we've kind of missed here, that we've been referring to him primarily as a ufologist. And I think Gene used the phrase the rock of ufology at the beginning of the broadcast, which was a term that, that Lou kind of inherited and it suited him. But he was really involved, or not, I shouldn't say involved, but really interested and excited about various types of unexplained phenomena, cryptozoological phenomena, you name it.
Yes.
If it fell outside the norm insofar as science, Lou was drawn to it, as we were all of us.
Yes, he was. He had a wide range of interests.
I think part of the problem in recognizing someone like him today is there's no book. He didn't write the book of everything he did. He just collected information and sent it out to people.
Well, he did.
That was it. That's it, Gene. I mean, I recall even from the early days, back in the early 60s, Lou would constantly be sending out, you know, one or two page reports on cases he'd run across, or maybe even, you know, investigated himself. Or if not, he would get all the various details from the newspapers or news media or whatever and pass it along to other researchers long before he had the clipping service. I mean, Lou did this his entire life.
You know, he wrote a lot of shorts for early Fate back in the late 60s, early 70s. Almost every issue, there was a short item that would appear under the byline of Lucius Farish. And I have one right here. I mentioned this to Gene at the beginning. And Gene, if you don't mind, I could read this. It's not very long.
Be my guest.
Okay, it's the title is Crickets by Jiminy by Lucius Farish. The dateline is Newport, Arkansas, already notorious for sightings in 1971 and 1972 of Arkansas's White River Monster, has a more recent claim to fame. Beginning on the night of September 27, 1972, estimated millions of crickets invaded the town, covering streets, sidewalks, and the sides of buildings. The chirping visitors were camel brown in color and about an inch long. Some areas in Newport soon were ankle-deep in crickets. One storekeeper filled a gallon bucket full of the intruders on the first night of the invasion and was prepared for more. Entomologist Harvey Barton of Arkansas State University in Jonesboro thought perhaps climate change is responsible for the migration, although he admitted he had never heard of a cricket migration before. Making the best of the situation, some local youngsters busily scooped up the hopping visitors and sold them the local bait shop. That was the entire story. And almost every issue for a number of years would have a short piece by Lucius Farish.
I love it.
The collected works of Lucius Farish.
He did publish a monograph in the, later 1960s, which was published by Controversial Phenomena. It was called Omega, and it was a bunch of historical Fortean things that he had found, and he collected them into this kind of crudely published monograph, and I think that's the closest thing he ever came to a book.
Yes, I remember that, Jerry. You're right. I had almost forgotten that, but yes, I have that. Yes, that was one of Lou's, probably the closest thing to a regularly published thing, yeah.
Jerry, I remember. Write a lot of articles together for something like Saga, an official UFO magazine back in the mid to late 70s. I seem to recall that the two of you sharing bylines and some articles about the historical UFO phenomenon.
Yes, we wrote a number of articles on ghost rockets and Foo Fighters and the airships, that sort of thing. Yeah, that was one of the things we did out of our mutual interest.
How did you set about co-writing? I mean, I've done this with a couple of authors myself, and it's always a little tricky. I mean, did one of you do the primary research and the other basically do the writing, or did you both co-write this, or how did you?
Lou got most of the material, and I did the writing and sorting together and try to get some kind of coherent narrative out of it.
I know they were always fascinating stories. I mean, I'd sit down, if I saw a story with Jerome Clark and Lucius Farish as the byline, and that'd usually be one of the first things that I'd go to, because it was just...
Those articles still stand up when I see them.
Maybe it's time for somebody like our friend over at Anomalous Books, for example. Okay, our friend at Anomalous Books, maybe pick up some of this material, research this material, check the rights for this material, and get some of it in print for people who aren't aware of all the tremendous research that's been done over the years. I mean, that stuff isn't available online, is it?
Well, most of that stuff was published under first rights, which after so much time, the right reverts back to the author. So I would think in the case of the joint authorship of say, Jerry's and Lou's work, Jerry would have ownership of that now. And as far as Lou's, I guess that would go to the estate, wouldn't it?
We'll have to do that kind of probing. And a lot more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life. But it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FlowJack. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, talking about Lucius Farish, and now, obviously, some collected works that maybe we'd like to see again. We have Rick Hilberg, Nancy Talbot, Jerome Clark, Kurt Southerly. Chris, got any more questions?
This one comes from Angelo, our resident skeptic moderator at forum.theparacast.com. Angelo's always fun. He provides a good, grounded, skeptical viewpoint on our forums. And I'm going to have to edit this one a little bit because he uses a naughty word. I would like to know what the guests think of all the division amongst the various research of paranormal topics. Is there any way that researchers can come to a certain agreements about anything so that they can convince people like me, I'm what could be considered as a expletive skeptic. Chris, I trust you'll edit that one for radio.
Yes, he did.
Is there really something going on that is more than just people's perceptions?
Let's take this round robin. Kurt Southerly, what's your answer?
Oh, there's definitely something going on that's beyond our ken. I mean, it's... I think all of us have had some sort of an anomalous experience, whether it was a UFO encounter of some sort or something else. The question is, what was it? I mean, is it, you know, are we dealing with, you know, nuts and bolts extraterrestrial spacecraft? Are we dealing with something that's interdimensional, something that's paraphysical, something that has to do with, as Nancy put it, human consciousness? We really don't know. The subject is too complex, and unless we can get some people involved that really have the expertise, we may never know. We may go to our graves just scratching our head.
Leave a lot of dandruff around.
Yeah.
Rick Hilberg.
Well, I really have to agree with Kurt.
something is definitely going on, whether, you know, we've experienced it ourselves as investigators or not, just getting, you know, a witness's testimony. There are so many egos involved. I think that's why a lot of the researchers or you know, cannot get along. They have their own pet theories. They have their own pet cases, whatever. They have their own take. That's unfortunate. But, I mean, that even happens in real science now and then. But I think, you know, in looking at a whole overview of this thing, we talked about what Lou had done and his clipping services, his one little monograph that he did and some of the articles. At least, you know, this stuff is ending up somewhere. And organizations such as MUFON and QFOS, you know, they're publishing. This stuff is going to be available, you know, to future historians. Whether they be, you know, physical scientists or behavioral scientists. And someday someone may be able to make some sense of this all and tie the whole thing together.
Nancy.
Okay, I'm with the gang so far, but I also have this idea that people who call themselves skeptics have the right to do so only if they actually have made an effort and continue to make an effort to read and absorb and seriously consider the better information which is out there. I mean, egos are
here, here.
We all have an ego, you know, everybody's got one, of course.
I resemble that remark.
I mean, one, and talking about scientists, by the way, if you don't think they have egos, you don't know any scientists. They fight, you know, tooth and nail about every new paper that comes out, every new fact which is proposed as a fact, and it is then reevaluated by God knows how many of these professional people until eventually it becomes an accepted fact. Now, a skeptic, I admire and respect skeptics if they are genuine skeptics, if their interest is great enough that they bother to inform themselves about what is actually known. What I find is that many people who call themselves skeptics, I don't know this person you're referring to, but many of the people who do generally are people who have made no effort to become informed of the serious work that's available. And in that case, I'm thinking that what we're talking about is armchair critics. And I don't have a hell of a lot of patience for that because I don't sit in an armchair. I'm out there working. And I know many of you guys are too. And so comments that come to me from someone who has never done any real work, him or herself, I've come to understand it's more from their, whatever their paradigm is the one they're content with. And that's fine. I mean, it's okay with me. But I want people who challenge my work to be informed about my work, to actually know what the hell the work is, so that then we can have an actual debate.
Jerry Clark, what's your response?
Well, I think the term skeptic is an ideological construct, just doesn't interest me. There's much like any sensible person I'm skeptical of. And that's another thing I'm skeptical of is received knowledge. It's clear that there's a great deal we don't know. And the massive testimony of human beings over many, many centuries to extraordinary experiences is a lot more interesting to me than some individual's rejection of it. I think that we have a lot to know. We have a lot more to know. The human adventure is not over. And in time, and I don't think it's going to be all that much longer, science will turn its attention to UFOs and other anomalies and actually go back and look at the literature the more serious among us have put together. For example, the two volumes of NICAP's Big Hall's The UFO Evidence and Eddie Bullard's book on the UFO phenomenon published a year or two by University Press of Kansas. I hope my UFO encyclopedia and books like this. And science will move forward. One of the problems that it has is that it lacks a theoretical structure for anomalous phenomena. And so it's easier to ignore them and then when pressed to deny them than to deal with them at our current state of knowledge. But knowledge advances, the human adventure continues, and I think we're in for some very interesting times. Unfortunately, most of us won't be around to see it, but it's going to happen.
Jerry, I totally agree with you on that. And one thing that I wanted to bring up quickly before, you know, the show ends, and we've really flown through, you know, the show today, and that is the role of the Internet and the role of young people getting inspired and involved and intrigued in this whole subject area. We're seeing, you know, the kid brothers of the original wave of investigators, we're slowly losing them, you know, every year. And I think we need to adapt this area of research to the new paradigm, which features the Internet. Now, we all know that there most of what's on the Internet isn't even worthy of your time to discover that it's just a bunch of true believer fantasy. And what kind of way can we use the Internet to possibly replace the old, you know, UFO conference paradigm, let's say, and move this thing forward in a way that all of our panel members would agree would be a healthy way to educate people, get the young people involved in this subject? What kind of way can we utilize the Internet? I'm just putting that one out there for everybody.
If there could be a forum that was edited by an intelligent, truly curious individual who was well-informed, that would be a godsend.
Well, that's a good idea, Nancy. But getting it done, I don't know. The Internet is you know a lot different than traditional you know ufology was. So I'm somewhat skeptical if anything can ever you know develop there. It's such a free for all situation. I really don't know.
And we do know this. We have a great collection of guests. And we're going to continue with one more segment with Kurt Sutherly, Jerry Clark, Nancy Talbot, Rick Hilberg with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
This is it, folks. We've been honoring the life and times of Lucius Farish by trying to put UFO research into perspective with Rick Hilberg and Jerry Clark, Kurt Southerly, and Nancy Talbot. See, I gave you all your names without having to look at any reference card. So those who say I am old and senile, no, not yet. I'm still here.
No.
So the point is also, in interesting officialdom, as they say, in doing something serious about UFOs, obviously there are those out there who, I'm going to have to mention this word just very briefly, the D-word disclosure. They tried that petition, which ended up being laughable in terms of results. So is there a way that we can persuade officialdom or official science? Let's start with Nancy Talbot. Round robin.
Well, in fact, we have, and I don't mean me, I mean we collectively, have in fact interested some members at the highest level of official, you know, scientists. I know a number of them with whom we work, one of whom, a very prominent scientist with the USGS, who has recently retired. The point I want to make, in I have perhaps not as much time in all of this as some of you guys, but I'm seeing personally a massive increase in some of the best of our scientists, not just in this country either, who do respond to hard science if it is in their field, because nowadays science has become so sophisticated that a real expertise in requires enormous amounts of work in any one field. One of the MIT guys that I work with, for instance, is a particle physicist. I would have to, when I was taking reports to him from Levingood, who is a biophysicist, he would require that I interpret the terminology in our reports, because as a particle physicist, the terminology that he was familiar with did not include the kind of terminology that was regularly used in biophysicists.
We're running short of time. I have to get to the other people on the panel here for some comments.
The point is, sure, that, you know, that science has become very complex. When a piece of work is done that they recognize as real, they immediately become interested.
I have to frame it in a way that they will recognize. Rick Hilberg, what's your response?
Well, I think kind of go along with what Jerry said previously. I think in due time, science, as a, you know, the big word S, will probably get around to figuring out what UFOs are. But it may take some time.
And they probably aren't going to think of the efforts people like you put into it, unfortunately. They'll find it and discover it independently. And then the media
probably
will cover it seriously, but they won't recognize people who've been following the subject for six decades. Is that what you think, Jerry?
No, I don't think that. I think that when they do catch up with it, they'll see, they'll have to go back and trace the history of it. And they'll say, what did we miss? And they will find the most serious writers and researchers, and that will be the basis of the new science. No, I don't think that what we're doing is for naught.
So they'll be visiting lots of retirement homes, and they'll find us.
Or they'll find our work.
Kurt Southerly, what's your response?
I suspect it's happening already. I think, and I referred to quantum mechanics earlier, I think the quantum physicists, who, by the way, are not very well liked, from what I gather, by the classical physicists, who tend to look at quantum mechanics as voodoo or magic or something of the sort. I think the people that are involved in quantum research are kind of indirectly taking a look at the UFO phenomenon. And I think they're starting to suspect that there is a tie-in. And I think Jerry is correct. I think once they get more deeply involved in this, they're going to have to go back. They really had no recourse. They need historical data, something to use as a foundation. And they're going to have to go back through that information and take a look at what's been written, what's gone before. They're not going to have any choice.
I would sure as heck hope so.
And I would think that Lou's name may arise from time to time when they do that.
I would think so.
That'd definitely be real nice. You going to say something, Rick?
I just said definitely, yeah. Lou would be recognized for sure.
I have one thing I wanted to tell you guys, all of you, and that is that some of these very sophisticated scientists with whom I've been in touch recently have expressed to me amazement when they, having become interested, having done some reading, then approach their own colleagues with some of these questions, only to find that their own colleagues, people they've known their entire professional lives, will refuse to discuss these subjects. So we still have a way to go, but more and more people are beginning to realize the emotional bias that a lot of the scientific community has. And slowly, I think it'll be overcome.
You have new wave science. You have the young researchers that have come on the scene, just as 20, 30 years ago or more, there were the new, younger UFO researchers who came on the scene. But the young physicists, the young astrophysicists, the young researchers today do not look at science the way the old guard looked at it.
Exactly.
They see it completely different, and they're much, much more open-minded about how they approach these subjects.
You often said that science progresses one funeral at a time.
Yes.
One of these scientists dies.
You know, this has been the kind of session where you almost think we've got six people in a room late at night at one of those UFO conferences, talking shop.
Lone Star Bar, Gene, at the Lone Star Bar. This is a classic Lone Star Bar conversation.
Actually, it is.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the best part of it, a UFO conference.
I can hear Gary Massey and Dave Perkins and, these guys.
Nancy, it's late at night and people are starting to peel off, and Gary's, like, admonishing them for not yelling calf rope. Like,
yep.
they finally have given up. So if you give up and you have to go to bed, calf rope.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, hopefully a lot of the people listening to this, they'll be listening to this probably late at night, and they're going to feel like they were sitting in a room with us.
The only difference is that every 10 minutes they didn't have the commercials. That's the only difference. Otherwise, it's the same thing. Otherwise, it would be identical to the experience of putting people together, and maybe the language would be a bit looser. But we have a family audience, and we have to respect their needs, but that's how it goes.
Now, Lou would love that idea. I know he would.
Oh, I so wish we could have actually had him come on, but came too late for him, I'm sorry to say.
Well, maybe somewhere he's...
Oh, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. You keep doing it.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm going to ask Round Robin about where we can find more of your information. Nancy, where can we find more of the things you do?
BLTResearch.com.
Simple as that.
BLT like the sandwich.
Kirk, your site is not up yet. You don't have a website.
No, but all you have to do is Google my name, and you know, about a million things pop up, things that scare the hell out of me. And information on my two books is out there, and they're still available from Amazon or from Llewellyn, the publisher, and I'm still plugging away on my novel.
Rick Hilberg, you have a physical publication with a physical address.
Yes, we do. Yes, Flying Saucer Digest. And I'll tell you what, while supplies last, as the old advertising expression used to go, send me a snail mail, a postcard, if you remember what they are, or just a note. You can send it to 377 Race, R-A-C-E, Street, and the city is Berea, B-E-R-E-A, Ohio, 44017, and I'll send you a sample copy of FSD.
A real print publication. Jerry Clark, where do we find more of your stuff?
At your local brick-and-mortar bookstore or on Amazon or some other online publication. They're all there. I'm writing an article for 40 and Times now, which will appear in the summer. I do a book review column for Fate magazine. And I just keep plugging along. I've got another book coming out late this year, and I'm about to start another one. So I'm always busy.
And he'll be back to tell you about those books. Chris O'Brien's stuff, by the way, is OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. Someday it's going to be redesigned, Chris. I promise.
Uh-huh.
Right. He doesn't believe me, by the way.
I think Chris makes all that stuff up.
It is a strange
So that's all the release forms and affidavits I've gotten.
Okay. Kurt Southerly, Jerome Clark, Nancy Talbot, Rick Hilberg, thank you all for joining us this week on the PowerCast.
You're welcome, and good night to dear Lou.
Yes.
Likewise.
Good night, Lou.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.